Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to the show. Over the next hour, we're going to take a look at a basketball program and one of the great baseball players in Southern California history. Later on in the back half of the show, we will be out at the Christ Cathedral Academy, and we'll talk with their championship basketball team, the parochial school's undefeated basketball team. We'll talk with their head coach and one of their star players. But to kick off the show this week, we were out at the recent Religious Education Congress in Anaheim, and we talked with all-time Angels great Adam Kennedy. Hey, welcome to a very special edition of Catholic Sports View. Joining us this week is Angels baseball legend Adam Kennedy. Adam, thanks for taking some time to join us here at Catholic Sports View.
Bob, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and we got a lot to talk about with you. Obviously, we'll get to your Angel days, I think, in the second half of our interview. But I want to talk about what you're doing now, because I think a lot of people wonder, hey, you know, you retired from the game. What do players kind of do? Baseball players are young men when they retire from baseball. You got to find something else to do in life, right? And coaching has become a big part of what you're doing now.
It really has. And most of us, when we retire, it's not by choice.
Right.
So you still have the itch and the bug to get out on the field and sort of use everything you've learned and all your experiences and hopefully pass them along.
Modern Day High School is where you've landed now. How'd you get hooked up over at Modern? Obviously, a legendary coach and a big-time program.
Yeah, honestly, just kind of by chance. I was actually looking for some information on another younger player that I had known and been working with and got to know Coach Call a little bit, and he offered me the job to help him there, and it's been a blessing. I love it. I love the school. Bert Call runs a great program, and all the sports there are just top-notch, and it's really been a good experience for me and kind of helping me transition away from actually getting to play and sort of helping the youth and the young kids.
As you mentioned, is it kind of just a natural progression? I mean, obviously, you know, you're a great player in high school, a great player in college, reached the pinnacle of success, you know, professionally, winning a World Series. You know, you gain all this knowledge, obviously, along the way. Is it just sort of a natural progression to say, hey, I'd like to be able to pass that down to the next generation of kids who dream about, you know, getting to the spot you got to?
I wouldn't say natural. I mean, I was raised by a coach, mm-hmm. so that part of it, yes. But there's a lot of patience in knowing how to pass along everything I've been through to the kids. And it's not easy at times. I've had to read books and to learn by mistake of how to get to my point across. And it's not, I don't want to say a lot of things were easy for me, but, you know, a lot of professional athletes, it was a little easier for us just by our natural gift. So being able to sort of pass along how to get things done on the field and sort of what the kids are thinking and what they're going through in life, that part of it has been a huge transition, and I've had to learn that quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe that's true. You know, obviously you were given, you know, God-given abilities to, you know, to play the game of baseball, but it also has to be combined with hard work, right? I mean, isn't that rule number one? No matter what your abilities are, you got to put the work in to realize that.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and it's sort of, you see the elite athletes, you know, Kobe Bryant, Clayton Kershaw, Albert Pujols, who at times come off as tough people, but it's because their work ethic is so strong and they're on a mission to sort of bring out everything that was given to them. And it takes hard work and it takes dedication and sometimes some selfishness to get to that point. So to kind of have patience with these kids, understanding that every kid is different, every kid he receives your message differently, yeah, has been a big challenge and a gift for me to be able to learn there at Modern Day.
Adam Kennedy joining us on Catholic Sports View this week. You know, you started at JW North High School out in Riverside. Did you know at that point that baseball was, you know, something you wanted to pursue in life, that getting to the next level, like, I guess college baseball at that point, was the goal out of high school?
I mean, yes, really just step by step. You know, people talk about when maybe did I know I was going to make the major leagues. And I, to be really honest with you, not until the day I was called up to the big leagues, or maybe right before that, shortly, you know, short period of time before that. But to be honest with you, just sort of kind of accepting where I'm at, whether it was high school and be great there, you know, on to college and being great there. And at each level in college, you know, you're each year, you're sort of a different member of the team and your role is different. So kind of being the best in your role that year, that time, and seeing where it takes you. I think if you set your goals too far away from where you are at, you forget to be in the moment, and that moment can pass you by, and so can other people.
Was college baseball, how beneficial was it, I guess, to your experience in making that next step?
Huge. You know, I try to promote college sports to any athlete that I, any high school athlete that I come across, because it was so beneficial for me. The relationships I built there and the work ethic that I was taught there, more so even though in high school, living on your own, that team camaraderie you get in college, you really never get that again in the minor leagues. So, but you do need it in the major leagues. So it's sort of a big, big learning experience for me. And without college baseball, I don't believe I would have got to experience everything I did in the major leagues.
There really is something about the college baseball experience. I mean, it's March Madness is March Madness, and maybe the bowl games in football kind of have that. But it's funny that the community of college baseball is a really tight-knit one.
It really is. You know, you spend so much time with each other on the field, away from the field, sort of, you know, kind of becoming a young man. And just if you can have that great college experience, it's something that you'll never forget, and will teach you, you know, how to be an adult and sort of all those building blocks you need
right.
to succeed.
So you're an All-American in college, and at some point, then you know, right? Okay, this is something I need to pursue. I'm good enough to pursue up the next level, you know, up the ladder. You get drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals. You go into their system. You know, what's it like for a kid to get into minor league baseball and start that whole merry-go-round?
It's not that easy, you know. I was fortunate enough to get a decent signing bonus where I was able to feed myself and to live comfortably in the minor leagues, which isn't always the case for a lot of the players, because it's not a glamorous lifestyle.
Yeah.
As great as it is in the major leagues, it is, you know, 180 in the minor leagues. A lot of fast food places, a lot of bus rides, a lot of Motel 6s with roommates. It can get trying, and if you don't have – you know, a solid foundation of whether it's faith, home life, friends, that you can get lost, and it could be rough. But I was fortunate enough to have all that, and it really helped me, you know, get through. And like I said, sort of keeping that focus
right.
One level at a time. Single A, be great here. Maybe I'll get to double A, be great there, and so on and so forth.
So as you kind of move up the ladder in the minor leagues, you think, okay, I'm going to be a member of this St. Louis Cardinal organization here, which is one of the legendary organizations in baseball. And then you get a phone call one day, you're traded all the way across. But I guess the silver lining is maybe closer to home.
Beyond that, just kind of getting the – knowing I was going to go to the big leagues, because it was going to be a little bit of a rough path there in St. Louis once I got mm-hmm. to the major leagues. They had signed some free agents. Tony La Russa at the time was – a little bit more veteran friendly. You got to remember, there was, I walked into a clubhouse with Mark McGwire, Willie McGee, Eric Davis. There were some big boys on that team, and for a young kid like me, a little bit in awe. So understanding, I had really had to keep grinding. Just because you get there, doesn't mean you're going to stay there.
Right.
And to be able to get traded was great for me professionally and personally. But then to come to Anaheim, that was just another level of excitement for me and my family.
What was it, the idea of a fresh start? Was it the idea of being in an organization where, you know, you were wanted, obviously. There was an opening, you know, in the infield for you, and you basically just slotted in right as the starting second baseman, I think, almost right from the get-go.
Yeah, that was pretty much the only thought. Yeah. You know, the being at home part, that was just icing on the cake. But just the fact that I was traded, for Jim Edmonds, so you know that they're giving up someone
right.
that is – an all-star player for you, so you know that they hope you can fulfill a need, and I was able to step in and do so not with ease at all times, but with continuing work and good teammates and good coaches, was able to make a career out of it.
Angels World Series champion and LCS hero Adam Kennedy with us here, the MVP of the League Championship Series in 2002, and I know you get asked about it all the time, I'm sure, you know, three home runs in a game. I mean, you know, very few people have ever done it in any game, but you did it on the biggest stage. Was there a different feeling that day going in, knowing you guys could clinch all the history of the Angels and their heartache, and, you know, you knew that day going in you could, you know, send the fans home happy that day? Did you know it was a special day, what was going to be for you?
I did not know that. You know, it had been an up and down playoff for me. I think I had a good playoff series against New York, but we were all playing great, and guys were stepping in and having great games, and that just happened to be my day, where, you know, I remember being in the batting cages prior to the game, and it was awful. I think there was a couple of us hitting, and they just told me to take a hike, go back to the clubhouse, regroup, and end up having a day like that. But what a fun day for the city of Anaheim to be able to do that and send us to the World Series. It was a fun time for everybody.
Was there a chance for it to set in, or was it more, hey, you know, not only are we celebrating this, but now we get to go to the next step and win a championship?
It was a little bit of a time to settle, because we won in five games, so
right.
We had almost a week to get ready for World Series. So there was a few days there where you get to enjoy it a little bit, but at the same time trying to stay focused and stay healthy, keep your swing, you know, right. But there was that week period of time where you get to enjoy a little bit, and you know, thankfully we kept playing well as a team and were able to win.
We talk so much, this is a sports show, we talk so much about confidence, and confidence is such a big thing in anywhere in life, but especially in the world of sports. You hit the first home run, do you feel that much more confident stepping on the second? After you've hit the second, do you feel that much more confident when you step into the box for the third one?
That's pretty much exactly it, you know. I remember my first at bat, I remember asking Mickey Hatcher before I went to hit, I'm like, I'm lost, Mickey. I'll just be extra aggressive this at bat. And I hit the first pitch out, and sort of there as an athlete, sort of like hitting that first jump shot, whatever, making that first completed pass, whatever it may be, your mindset changes. And sports is so psychological that the confidence level can make or break you, and with one swing sort of set me on a path to have a great day.
We'll take a break here on Catholic Sports View, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about what Adam's doing right now, including future in radio right here, like what we're talking about right now, and we'll also talk about his job as a coach at Modern Day High School. Stay with us here on Catholic Sports View, our special interview with Angels legend Adam Kennedy. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View, and we have a very special guest this week, Adam Kennedy, Angels baseball legend. Thank you for taking a couple of moments to join us here this week on the show. And we, you know, we kind of left off talking about the World Series, going to the World Series, and let's just kind of finish up on that thought a little bit. Being the league championship MVP and getting to a World Series, that's got to be a dream. But actually winning a World Series and beating Barry Bonds and the Giants and watching Darren Erstad catch the final out, I mean, a dream come true, right?
It really was. Just sort of the way the whole year started for us, it wasn't great. Nobody expected us to sort of be at that in that position. You know, Oakland, that was the year they won 20 games in a row.
Right.
We get a wild card, and then we just continue to play great, you know, from the second half of the year throughout the playoffs, and then to be able to go to San Francisco. I think that sort of helped us in staying on the West Coast and having familiarity with San Francisco a little bit. And you're watching Barry Bonds all year long on TV,
right,
and what he's doing and how good they are. But we had a great team. It was just a great foundation from the coaching staff. And we really never wavered in our confidence the whole playoffs, whether it was myself, like you mentioned, Darren Erstad, Troy Percival closing out games, you know, Garrett Anderson with big hits in the playoffs, Troy Gloss with MVP. The list goes on and on, and just a good time for everybody. And that team was really close, and a lot of us still keep in contact to this day.
Yeah, I was going to say, so many guys still live in the area. You know, Garrett Anderson, we know his son plays basketball at Orange Lutheran High School, one of the Trinity League schools here. So a lot of those guys are still in there. You're still in contact with a lot of those guys. I'm sure they're like brothers to you, right?
They are, you know, and you form that bond, and it never really goes away. And you understand sort of what, you know, that team did for Anaheim in general. You know, it really put the Angels sort of back on the map,
right.
I would say, as far as, you know, Artie's done great since he took over right after that and getting the 3 million fans per year. And I think we had a lot to do with sort of jump-starting that. And they, to this day, have done a good job of continuing the popularity around here.
Was it always in the back of your mind you wanted to stay doing something with the sport of baseball? Or was there a time where you said, you know what, maybe I'll get away from it and do something totally different?
I don't think I have the skill set to do much different than anything in
You're
sports.
You're a baseball guy, right?
I am, you know, and I love it. I watch baseball, you know, I'll watch spring training games from now to the World Series. I'll watch as many games as I can. Huge fan, and that will never die, and sort of just embedded in me, and I have no problem with that.
So now we're on the just a couple of weeks away from the start of this new baseball season, and a brand new job for you, a radio host. How does it feel now to be the host of the Adam Kennedy Show, which is going to debut on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA, following all Angel home games? Congratulations on that one. I'm going to be involved with you on that show as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. So what made you think, hey, I want to try this radio thing out?
Well, thanks to you and your show, The Franchise.
Right.
You guys have been great to me and sort of kind of guiding me through this and with your help sort of doing some, I don't want to call it the post-game show, but some post-game Angel radio. It's going to be a great opportunity. I know you're very knowledgeable and you're great with sports, as am I. So sort of following your lead, even though it's my name, I'll continue to do that. But you guys at The Franchise have been great for me, and it gives me an opportunity to work in Anaheim, work at the stadium, watch games, and speak on the team that I love and all the teams that we watch every single day. And so it's an honor for me to be able to continue working in baseball, even now coming to the media side a little bit. It should be fun.
It's been a lot of fun, you know, having you in, you know, with myself, John Conte, Rich Estrella. We've had a lot of fun on The Franchise. I guess it just became like a natural progression for you to want to talk baseball. I mean, like we said, you're a baseball guy. I love baseball. We're just going to get on there and talk baseball and talk Angels, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
That will be the easy part. You know? And hopefully the Angels, they get out of the gate good and continue to have a good year. We don't want to have to be talking too negatively about them on their home station. So I will be rooting hard for the Angels this year, as I always do, but especially this year. And hopefully with our new acquisitions, we'll be able to follow them into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, obviously we want to talk about that a little bit. You know, the Angels, after a 98-win season and just missing the playoffs, you know, last year everything that could go wrong, you know, did go wrong. And so it's baseball, it's the spring, is always about a fresh start and a new chance. I suppose every year you went to spring training, that was the feeling too. Hey, a new chance to have a great season.
It really is, you know, and you know, the Yankees haven't been great. They're sort of in that transition to sort of come back. It just goes to show that it's tough to stay on top for a while. And the Angels sort of have been. Hopefully the last year or two is their down year to get, and now we'll get back on top, which would be great, especially for us sort of having those post-game time slots, talk Angel talk, get those callers involved, and hopefully a lot of positivity. Like I said, we don't have to be too negative talking about you know, Mike Trout and the boys not winning games in Artie's home.
Well, it should be a lot. It's a lot easier when you have players like Mike Trout and Albert Pujols, who you've had a chance to be around. Just how special is a guy like Mike Trout? I mean, where does he kind of rank in the hierarchy of all the great players you've seen in your baseball career?
I would say at the top. I mean, I think a lot of us take for granted getting to watch him every single day. But if you step back and look at the numbers and where he stands statistically, in the all-time greats, he is at the top, especially for being 25 years old, 26 years old, whatever he is. I try to tell my kids, you know, don't take for granted watching him, because he's the best and may go down as the best player ever. It's just a fact. Sometimes we take it for granted seeing him every day, but he is a pleasure to watch. He does it with so much ease. It's sort of frustrating at times because it is not that easy. But we are lucky to have him around Anaheim to be able to watch.
And we'll obviously be talking about Angels baseball, but we're also going to talk a lot about modern-day baseball as well and the Trinity League. I know, in fact, Orange Lutheran is probably the top team going into the season in Southern California. Modern-day right on their heels. It's a natural rivalry within the Trinity. It's going to be a lot of fun, I imagine, for you to be a part of that as well.
It really is. You know, I wasn't sure what I was getting into the high school, you know, baseball scene a couple years ago. And since I've been in, I love it. I'm happy that I'm in the Trinity League with all the competition. Jay Serra has been a top team in the country, and they are again this year. They have one of the top players in the country, a top five pick potentially. Same with Orange Lutheran, Santa Margarita, St. John Bosco, Servite. So the list goes on, and the players that you're going to see playing at the next level, they're stacked on each team, and it's a pleasure to get to watch. Even the kids that we're playing against, it's fun for me to watch and kind of see the potential that some of these these players have and get to see them now and maybe 5-10 years down the road.
Is there a big difference in high school baseball from the time you were a kid playing out in Riverside?
Absolutely. It is tough now. There's very few multi-sport players, which is I don't think it's great. It's just how it is nowadays. You know, it's a hard thing to fight. There's so much travel ball, AAU ball, camps for football. So it's tough. It's tough for kids to bounce around and be great in their sport with all the competition. I'm not a big fan of that, but it's just kind of how it is with the times right now. I would love to see that change a little bit. I'm not sure if it ever will, but I'm a big fan of the multi-sport athlete and what they can do on and off the field and in multiple sports.
Adam Kennedy, our guest this week on Catholic Sports View. Some changes in baseball rules this year. You know, they're doing away with the intentional walk and the clock in recent years. They're trying to speed up the game. Is there a need for it? Do we really need to get to the point where we're trying to shave 42 seconds off a game or a couple of minutes off a game?
I would think not. You know, it's almost like people aren't happy unless there's changes being made, and that's okay, I guess. But if there gets to a point where they're actually changing physical parts of the game or how that will be a tough thing to sell. I get times are advancing. The hard part with baseball is it's America's pastime, and people call it that, and they love the tradition. But we'll try to keep it as traditional as possible with making the new millennials happy as possible as well.
The good news is people are still coming out to baseball games. I mean, the attendance is still as high as ever, you know, in the ballparks because it's still really the last affordable ticket to take a family out and see a sporting event.
They are, and the TV contracts are great for the owners. So even if there are times throughout the year where your attendance isn't where you want it to be, you know people are watching it on TV. They just are. It's a fact. The TV contracts are telling us that. So I think popularity-wise, it's got to be at a high. I think all sports are at a high. Sports are just at an all-time high right now all across the board, and I think it's great for society. I really do.
Will you be heading out to spring training at all? Do the Angels invite you out to come be a part of what's going on out in Arizona?
They did. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have time, you know, trying to get ready for the new radio show.
Right.
Trinity League with Modern Day starting up, and my son, he's starting his high school baseball season as well. So I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to get out there. I have been out there a few times, and I love it, but there's some more pressing issues here back at home.
How's your kid? What kind of player is he?
He's okay. You know, I've worked hard with him over the last, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, especially since I've been done playing. So now kind of hand him over to the high school coach.
Yeah.
I think it's good for them to have a different voice. He's doing okay. He's better than he thinks he is. You know, he struggles with the comparables at times, but I try to tell him, don't listen to that. You know, you're a good player and have fun out there. It's really what it's all about.
It's got to be an advantage, though, to have Adam Kennedy as your dad, right?
Well, sometimes.
That's Adam Kennedy. Adam, we want to thank you for stopping by and taking a couple minutes with us here this week on Catholic Sports View. Good luck. We'll be working together coming up on the radio show. Don't forget the Adam Kennedy Show, following Angels games on AM 830 KLAA. And, of course, right here on Catholic Sports View, we'll be following the Modern Day Monarchs all season long. Thanks again, Adam.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. That's Adam Kennedy, Angels legend, and now the assistant coach over at Modern Day High School. We'll have more on Catholic Sports View when we come back here on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010. OCCatholic.com/travel.
The De Angelis Vocal Ensemble presents a choral concert of music inspired by the Via Crucis on Friday, March 10th at 8 p.m. in the Cultural Center of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. This a cappella program features music from the Renaissance to contemporary masterpieces. Tickets for this program and future concerts at Christ Cathedral are available at ChristCathedralMusic.org. Also, don't miss the Talis Scholars on March 31st.
Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco from Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we are so excited to be partnering with Immaculate Heart. And I'm also very pleased to have published my first book, 365 Days of Praise. It's a daily devotional to help you with a daily scripture reading, a reflection, and also a thought-provoking question to help stimulate your spiritual growth.
Available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or find out more at SpiritFilledHearts.org.
Coach, we want to offer our congratulations, first of all, for the big win. How does it feel to come away the champions this season?
It feels great. You know, the students put in a ton of hard work day in, day out. And, you know, we had a lot of potential. So it was really awesome to see the hard work pay off and see them reach it.
You know, how long has this been, this whole process of putting a program together here and now seeing the fruits of the labor pay off?
It's been a few years. The first year that the team was here, they went winless. So a lot of it was really just building up excitement to be a part of the program. And then once that came, you know, the results sort of come from that.
How hard is it to come in and take a team that's winless, maybe in need of a boost in the arm, so to speak, and build that back up?
It can be a little challenging. I arrived the year after that. Okay. And that first year we went 5-10. Now, we had some great players who came, some great students who came, so that makes it a little bit easier as my job when you've got great basketball players. But definitely that first year is just about getting the younger grades really excited and really pumped up and getting that school spirit up to then, you know, let those results follow.
Right. You just take a moment to explain to everybody about, Christ Cathedral Academy and how long the school has been here and kind of what it's about.
So we used to be St. Callistus, right? And then when the diocese bought, you know, Crystal Cathedral, we moved over. This is our fourth year at the school. And so we're a growing school. We're in the process of doubling up our enrollment and doubling the grades, which is really exciting. And it's a good place to be. It's very neat being at the center of the diocese, right? There's always something going on. So being able to represent that is really exciting.
Sean, tell us what it was like when the buzzer sounded and you guys knew you were the champions.
Once that buzzer sounded, everyone just cheered and we were all excited that we won.
How much does it mean knowing that, you know, you put all the hard work in, this program has come a long way, and now you're part of the, you know, the group that, you know, kind of put it on the map now?
We just knew that all our hard work ended up paying off in the end. So,
you know, talk about what Coach Eli has done for you guys throughout the season.
He made sure we did what we needed to do, make sure we played defense, make sure we ran our offense correctly.
You know, how about the kids? You know, obviously you got to have good kids, good players that come in and work hard. Is that one of the first things, is to really, you know, get them to buy into a program and instill that work ethic?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, it's easy when we've got the kids I had, you know, great kids, top to bottom, great role models. And also a big thing, kind of a big mantra of the season, was to glorify God by how we play. And so having students, you know, even though they're just in middle school, understand what that's about and sort of our larger purpose and have that maturity, it really helps us then set the tone and everything else and make sure we have the right focus throughout the season.
The team, you know, mostly consisted of 8th and 7th graders. Mm-hmm. You said there's a 6th grader mm-hmm. on the team as well. Is it hard to find that right group, that right chemistry within a team, or was this an easy team to, you know, chemistry-wise?
For this team, it was pretty easy. Like I said, it's a really supportive group. They all sort of understand where everyone's coming from ability-wise, experience-wise, and we're all on the same page from day one. And having also that strong 8th grade leadership really helped that, because they knew what it was like. They knew my expectations, having, you know, been on my team before, and they could set the tone and show the younger guys, okay, this is what we're about, this is how we conduct ourselves, this is what we do.
What are the lessons you're trying to get across, you know, to the kids apart from basketball?
The biggest thing is that at the end of the day, we're here to serve God. We're here to give thanks to God for this opportunity. Every day, you know, we pray before and after practice. And the biggest thing is thanking God for this opportunity, because a lot of people around the world don't have this opportunity just to play basketball. You know, they're either not in a safe area or, you know, financially, whatever. So making sure that that's really what we're about. And, you know, the wins and losses is just that secondary compared to that.
Right. Sean, what is it like to be a part of the school here?
It feels amazing, because I know that I'm part of a great school and part of a great campus here.
talk about what you've gotten from the coaches. You know, obviously the coaches have an idea of what they want to teach you guys. What have you taken in? What have you learned other than basketball this season?
Coach taught me to always stay positive and encourage others positively.
How about in the game? You want to keep playing basketball when you get to high school?
Hopefully, yeah.
And where are you going to go to high school next year?
I'm going to Cypress High School.
Okay. And what do you play other sports?
I also play volleyball, yeah.
So you want to keep going athletically as you get older?
Yeah.
Cool. Tell us about the game itself. What was the game like, the championship game?
It was pretty wild. It was a really, really tough fought game, really defensive battle. At the end of the first quarter, we were up 7-0. So, you know, low scoring on both sides. We had a decent lead going into the fourth, and then St. Irenaeus, they made a real push. They wanted it, obviously. And we were in a lot of foul trouble across the board. And actually, in the fourth quarter, I believe St. Irenaeus scored 10 unanswered points. So they knew what their game plan was coming in, but the end of the game for us was mainly just keep away. The shots weren't falling. Defensively, we weren't doing as great a job as we've been doing throughout the season. And so with about a minute and a half left, it became dribble it out, make them foul, you know, make the free throws, and hopefully come away with it, which we were able to do.
For a team that didn't lose a game this season, was that the most adversity that this group had seen?
Absolutely, as far as small school. We did play in a large school tournament and against the schools, you know, outside of our division. And so we had played St. John's Episcopal, and they had beaten us by 3. So it wasn't part of our division. It was an outside, you know, midseason tournament. But that was a good thing for us to experience going, you know, back to our division and playing on the team. So I think we were prepared for it. That helped us with our mental toughness. But it was certainly, within our division, the toughest game all year.
Is it comparable? Can you compare the 6th, 7th, 8th, you know, level of basketball to high school? I mean, is this a good jumping block for kids who are thinking about playing high school basketball?
I think it absolutely is. When you actually, you know, it's easy to think, oh, it's middle school, you know, they're just, you know, messing around. But when you go to the games, it can be some pretty high-quality games. And so, you know, especially with us, we're doing some pretty complex defenses. We're running some complex offenses. You know, a lot of the other teams are too. It's not bad basketball.
Eli Langston and Sean Wynn joining us on Catholic Sports View. A couple of moments this week. Champions here at Christ Cathedral Academy. Can you build upon this? Is there another group behind this one? You know, coming back, some of the 7th graders, or you have some 6th graders that are ready to step up and fill the void? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, there are. Like I said, we had 3 7th graders and 1 6th grader on the team. And so it's a really strong core going forward for next year. We've got a lot of, you know, talented kids coming up. Some were maybe a few years out, but they'll get there. But really, the foundation is there. The kids are excited. They're playing from a young age. They're getting involved in some outside leagues, you know, at recess. They're always playing. So we should still be competitive going forward for a few years.
Sean, what was it like to come back to school after winning the championship? What did all your classmates, were they excited?
Yeah, everyone was excited about it. The championship just helped pump up the younger kids to play even more sports.
Do you take, you know, responsibility as an 8th grader to say, hey, I want to leave a legacy for the kids that are coming behind me, and you know, you want to help those 7th and 6th graders, maybe even the younger kids, you know, come up and become the next, you know, group of champions?
Yeah, I just hope to get inspired by this championship and move on later and play more basketball.
How about Sean? Is he a leader out there?
Oh, absolutely. He's rock solid out there. You know, he knows exactly when it's time to, you know, tell kids, hey, we got to step up, and also to do it in an encouraging way to make sure that we're all on the same page.
So has the school done, you know, ceremony or a rally or anything, or is there some stuff planned?
Yes. So yesterday, it was our first day at school since the championship. So we had the team go all the way around to all the classes with the trophy. We actually had all the trophies we'd won over the season, a few from some other tournaments. And then we had a huge ice cream party. Our principal organized that at lunch. So, you know, that got all the younger kids really excited. I think that was their favorite part of us winning, probably. And then we got to have our picture taken with the new auxiliary bishop, Bishop Fryer, and our picture taken with the superintendent, Mr. Duvetter.
Well, I want to say congratulations again to you guys. You know, job well done. Getting the championship, and good luck next year. You'll be in high school, right? So, and good luck with the team once again next year, and trying to defend your championship.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Eli Langston and Sean Wynn. They're the champions out here at Christ Cathedral Academy. We'll have a little bit more here on Catholic Sports View when we come back.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And joining me right now is Audrey Runley, and she is the athletic trainer out here at Rosary High School. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, it's great to be with you today talking about what we have here and offer for all of our students and athletes at Rosary Academy.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about your background, and then we'll kind of get into a little bit about the program here at Rosary. It's a very unique thing, but what got you interested in athletic training and I guess sports medicine in general?
Well, I was an athlete myself, so that's usually how a lot of us fall into wanting to help athletes in the future. I was a competitive gymnast and also played soccer and ran track at my high school, which was Cornelia Connolly. So I am from the tri-school as well, but my dad and grandpa were in the same field, so I got interested at a young age and then didn't know if I wanted to do physical therapy, but ended up through college settling with athletic training because I like to be involved in the sports the most instead of always being in a clinic. So that's what I like the most about athletic training and working with athletes is that I get to see them on the field as well as in the clinic.
Does it also help you kind of stay close to sports in general and kind of that athletic competition?
Of course. Everyone always asks me if I'm an athlete, and the best answer is to say, well, kind of retired, but it does keep me feeling like I'm still a part of athletics every day, and it's a good environment to work in.
I have to imagine that it's a field that is constantly evolving, and then there's new things kind of going on within the field of sports medicine.
Yes, within athletics, every day is different, so that's always a good thing to go to work and not know what to expect. We obviously always hope that there are not going to be any injuries, but within the field of athletic training, things have evolved a great amount even since I was in college. So it's a growing field, and a lot of education and knowledge gets passed around. So it's definitely a healthcare profession that is revolving and becoming more prevalent, which is wonderful, and is really just a great source for a lot of athletes, especially that it's being offered more and more for high schoolers.
so many sports are so different. Obviously, here at Rosary and All Girls School, you're not dealing with football players like a lot of other athletic trainers might be. And I know that's probably one of the more demanding sports. But yet there are still a lot of sports that have different motions to them, different aspects to them that I imagine you see pretty much a full spectrum of pulled muscles and ligaments and everything else that kind of goes into being an athlete.
Yeah, Rosary, we don't have football, but which is a blessing some most times of the year. But we still see a great amount of injuries and work with definitely different types of athletes. We also treat a lot of the students here. So if there are people that don't participate in a Rosary sport, we see some random stuff on the outside as well. But we treat every sport here. So obviously, for example, instead of football in the fall, our biggest sport is volleyball. So we're dealing with a lot of injuries there. But we also treat up to our cheerleaders and dancers. So we definitely see a wide variety, both acute injuries and traumatic, but also deal with a lot of chronic injuries.
Is a big part of what you do prevention? Are you trying to prevent the injuries, you know, before they happen? And, you know, I imagine education is the biggest part of that with the girls.
Yes, it definitely is, because a lot of them haven't been an athlete long enough to understand that they can prevent the injuries. So a good portion of our job in the beginning of each season is communicating with the athletes as a team and communicating with the coaches to hopefully implement some sort of prevention program or find the ones that may end up being injured and try and help them prevent that down the road. We also have a strength and conditioning coach that we work very closely with, and he works to condition them preseason to help along with that prevention of injuries. Obviously, his goal is to get them strong and perform well, but he works very closely with us to prevent injuries as well.
We're visiting with Audrey Runley, athletic trainer out here at Rosary High School, in charge of so many different athletes out here with the Royals. What's the most common injury you see?
Well, unfortunately, probably the most common injury we see is what people call shin splints.
Mm.
So that is definitely something that is an educational piece and helping them realize why they may be having pain in their lower leg. But with a little bit of a program that we've created for a lot of different teams here, we help them get the right support and start strengthening their lower legs so that they aren't experiencing what they all call shin splints. Shin splints are a couple of various injuries that are termed into that umbrella term. So we have really tried hard this year especially to get everyone on board to strengthen before they get to that point in the season of being injured, to where they can't run, can't be on the court, field, whatever it may be.
Right. Is it tough at times? I mean, obviously these are youngsters and they're in their teenage years, and things seem to bounce back a little better than they do, certainly when you get to my age.
Yeah.
But still, do you find some kids go, the mentality is so, nothing will ever happen to me. I don't need to stretch. I don't need to do these things. Are you having to overcome some of those boundaries as well?
A little bit. Everyone's different, and every high schooler is different as far as being competitive or not quite understanding what it means to be injured. So we definitely deal with the group that doesn't know if they can go back in, and then the group that wants to go back in and probably shouldn't. So a lot of what we do with this age group, like you had said, is education. Whether it may be educating them of how to take care of themselves, or also educating them of how to be an athlete, what's sore and what's injured, is a big topic for us as well.
One of the things I find fascinating here at Rosary is that you have a sports medicine program here. You head up that program. How did that get started here, and how exciting is it for kids to be able to get the beginnings of that, you know, early on in their high school lives?
Yeah, it's really a great attribute to Rosary. It's more prevalent in the high schools now, but the way that Rosary offers it, I feel, is pretty unique. I think it was about 2 or 3 certified athletic trainers ago that worked here that she slowly started the program, and it has gotten to evolve into the course that they take before they get in the program is UC approved. So that really is motivating for them and helpful in the long run if they are interested in this field. But once they take the course, they then get to apply to our program, which gets them outside of the classroom as an extracurricular. So they get to work alongside the other athletic trainer and myself on the sidelines of Rosary Athletic sporting events. So they get to observe us and see what it's like to work as an athletic trainer, or kind of just get a basis of the knowledge of being a healthcare provider. So whether or not they want to be an athletic trainer, it's kind of a basis for them if they want to become a physical therapist, a nurse, a doctor, whatever their goal is in the long run.
Yeah, it seems like there's so many different fields under the umbrella of what you could be off of this. What's the reaction, you know, from the kids? I mean, is it eye-opening? Is it something they've really taken to?
They really have. This is one of the only medical-related things that they can do outside of the classroom at Rosary. So those girls that are, you know, have the ambitions of becoming an orthopedic surgeon or all these different crazy medical fields, they really have grasped that this is a little bit of a taste of what I might be experiencing through college or what it's like to work in the real world as one of these professionals.
Is this something you yourself would have had access to, this kind of a course in high school?
I didn't have access to it, which I look back and think, wow, this would have been really cool to give me kind of the one up before I got to college.
Right.
But when you go to college to be an athletic trainer, you go through a program that's way more intensive, but is similar in the lines that you're doing clinical hours on top of classroom hours. So it really is a great thing that they're offering for girls this young.
Do we see a greater need for sports medicine, for athletic trainers in the world? And as I talk about all the other things that fall under the umbrella, but are we seeing a greater occupational therapist? Or are we seeing a need more for these fields?
I think that healthcare professionals in general are needed anywhere you go. The wonderful thing about athletic training is that we're trying to get it more prevalent in the high school setting. So the secondary school setting is really pushing to have a certified athletic trainer at every high school, because high schoolers get injured just as much as college athletes do. So that's the main push for our profession, and it's going well. But obviously not every high school is able to have two certified athletic trainers like the Trinity League schools do. But it's definitely more prevalent and growing, and people are understanding a little bit more why we're needed.
As the head of the program, I imagine you get to set the curriculum or, you know, have great input into that curriculum. What are the things that the girls are directly learning right now?
In the course, there is curriculum that's set for the UC approval, and it really gives them a little bit of each aspect of the profession. We go over not just being an athletic trainer, so we kind of open them up to the world of medicine a little bit, and then we go over all of the body parts, anatomy, the injuries themselves, and prevention, strength and conditioning, a little bit of nutrition. We throw in environmental factors, so we're really covering the scope of what we see and know as a professional.
Couple more minutes here with Audrey Runley, athletic trainer out here at Rosary High School. What do you see as the future of this program? Would you like to see it grow into other schools or have other schools talk to you about maybe instituting something like this in their curriculum?
Yes, of course. I know that there's a couple of Trinity League schools that have a program. Our closest brother school, Servite, does have a program pretty similar to us. And there are some courses at each Trinity League school in sports medicine. I'm unsure if each of them have a clinical hour program like we do. We've kind of made it, it used to be a class, and now it's kind of an extracurricular club sort of model, which gives the girls a little bit more time, and they don't have to fit it into their academic schedule. So that's helpful so that they still get to be involved. So it would be great for all the high schools in the area and within our league to kind of work together and show that everyone has the same thing to offer.
What's the biggest piece of advice you can give everybody to what you need to do to keep your body moving in the right direction and how you can keep healthy while still trying to be the weekend warrior or the part-time athlete?
Well, being active and exercising is always important and staying healthy through your life. But I think it's just taking care of your body. As much as going out and exercising is important, taking care of the body as it recovers from the exercise is what will get you further.
Audrey, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Thank you.
I want to thank all my guests this week, Adam Kennedy, Eli Langson, Sean Wynn, and Audrey Runley. And if you want to catch a replay of this show or any of the others from Catholic Sports View, go to OCCatholic.com/radio, and all the shows are archived right there on that site. Thanks once again. We'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.